It is time for Judy Workman and Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. And she joins us on a Thursday morning. And hopefully we have both Judy and Jill on the line with us together. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hello, Jill. I bet things are fine with you as well.
If this works, then the answer is yes, it's fine. The only thing that I will say is that people never like hearing it. I don't know if you remember, there was an ancient advert. It's not nice to make fun of or fool around with Mother Nature. And I don't know that people are going to be happy to hear that their algorithms might not be everything they're cracked up to be.
That's right. I like many, many people, have depended on, or let's say not dependent, but used apps that you can download on your smartphone or actually get on a wrist or body-wearing device that measures how many steps you're taking, how much, how quickly your heart rate is, and even in some cases how much oxygen you're consuming. That gives you some idea of your stamina. And I've sort of more or less dependent on my particular app. It's called Steps. It's a free app that I have on my smartphone to tell me more or less, you know, whether I am sort of exercising up to my own self-imposed standard. And when I had a very old dog, I used to use it also to see whether he was actually getting enough exercise, mea culpa. I obviously shouldn't have done that, but, you know, I wanted to see whether he walked more than 300 steps a day. Although, clearly, how four legs is going to translate into two legs, I didn't really bother to find out. Well, what I did bother to find out recently was that these apps that do measure your steps and then get translated into miles or energy used really are not particularly reliable. And this obviously should come as a surprise to nobody. But, you know, until you sort of see it in black and white, you really don't want to accept it. And one of the reasons, and this, I guess, cleared up a puzzle that I always had, is that these apps that measure steps and indeed running distances as well, don't really measure your steps or my steps or the steps of somebody who's walking next to you specifically. What they are programmed to do is to measure the distance traveled by sort of a standard step, which meant, you know, going from point A to point B and covering, I don't know, 15 inches or something, that was based on studies that were done with normal, you know, that means your normal weight, young men who walked, at what was considered a normal pace, and their ability for their foot to go from point A to point B was considered a standard step distance. And what your device does is to use something called an accelerometer, which uses some kind of electromagnetic system to translate the actual distance that you are traversing by an equation, an algorithm, into the distance that you actually are moving through. But again, it's fraught with all sorts of inexact measurements. And it's, and one obvious example is this. I have a friend whose husband has Parkinson's disease. Not in this weather, but when the weather is good, they walk. And he walks very slowly. He shuffles. He's afraid he's going to lose his balance. So he has trouble lifting up his feet. His steps are very close together. And so it means that he may take a lot of steps to go a block. When she walks, and she's short, but she walks very quickly, she could traverse the same distance in half the time and with half the steps. And the problem is that the devices that they're both wearing to measure steps are totally dissimilar and really give the wrong information. The other thing is that if you use some of the devices on your gym equipment, assuming that you're back in a gym or you can go back to a gym or you have something in your own home that says, okay, you're on the treadmill or the elliptical or the stationary bicycle for so many times and you're doing so many revolutions per minute or so many steps per minute, and you get a readout, wow, I just did 489 calories right now. I'm going to stay on until I do 500, and then I can go out and have a piece of fudge cake for dessert. Don't believe what you see on that machine, because the machines are extremely inexact. you know, according to several articles that I read, unless you put in your weight and you're honest about putting in your weight, there is no way the machine can really translate what you're doing into accurate calories, because if you're very heavy, you're going to be spending much more energy in going the same distance on a treadmill as if you, you know, weigh 98 pounds. So that is inexact, and they found that the most inexact of the machines are the elliptical, where you're sort of moving your legs, almost as if you're walking, but you're moving your legs in a sort of step-type device, and that you also can move your arms at the same time. If you only, if you ignore the arm part of it and move only your legs, you're going to get a very inexact reading. Apparently, the most exact readings come from stationary bicycles. Okay, so there you are thinking that, wow, I've walked 15 miles, you know, I've walked 5,805, you know, 76 steps, etc. And now I'm going to go and have a really big dinner, or I really worked off the big dinner I had yesterday. So that's error number one. Second of all, you know, many of us tend to turn to these food tracking apps, mainly if you went online to look at what they do, mainly to see whether you're eating too much or we're eating actually less than you really thought you were eating, so that you're going to lose weight. Some of us look at those apps to see whether, when was the last time I had any vegetable in my life, or am I really vitamin D deficient just because I haven't seen any sunshine for the last 3 months and I haven't been taking any vitamin D pills, and where am I getting my vitamin D from? Okay, but most of us don't use our apps to see how well nourished we are. We want to see whether we are being overly nourished because we're eating too many calories, and we rely on these apps to translate what we put into them in terms of what we're eating to give us a number of calories. And there have been something like 67 studies looking at the validity of these particular apps compared to the gold standard of how much, you know, of how many calories and nutrients food contain that are based on the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, standards of what's really in food. And most of these food tracking apps are not as accurate, only because they have not put into their database totally accurate information. So if you say that you had something like a pasta with a tomato sauce and a sprinkling of cheese, you may get a particular reading from your food tracking app and another reading if you were to analyze it from USDA standard list of nutrient information, and they would not be particularly close. They're close enough so that if you are going from a diet in which you're consuming nothing but hot fudge cake and M&Ms to a diet in which you're consuming kale and broccoli, you'll obviously see a drop in your calorie intake, but in a sense, you don't need an app to tell you that. So you do see major differences, but if you're really concerned about, did I eat too many crackers yesterday? I ate three and I was only planning to eat two. Your app is not going to really be able to pick up specific information. But the bottom line is this. If you really are concerned about exercise enough to track it, and if you're really concerned about your food intake enough to track it, then you're fine because you're concerned about the right things. You don't need an app to tell you to be concerned. You're concerned. And if you give yourself just a little bit of time to maybe even measure what the distance is around the block and then the next block, or give yourself enough time to look at food labels so you have an idea how many calories are in that cookie compared to that stalk of broccoli, you know, in a sense, you really don't have to rely on these food tracking apps either. The fact that you really want to is enough.
Yeah, that's actually a really, you know, if we put a little bit of humanity into it, you can, you know, you put a little human energy in, hey, how many, am I walking around the block, how long does it take, or all right, is this low-calorie lasagna the same as this other lasagna that's made with 62 cheeses? You know, so that you can calculate. If you do that, you're going to be much better off than if you rely on solely one thing or the other.
Yeah, and I mean, but let's say you're in a restaurant and you look at the choices and you see one offering, which is a breaded fried something, let's say chicken parmesan covered with tomato sauce and gobs of cheese, and the other thing might be, you know, fish fillet that's lightly sautéed with lemon juice and maybe a tiny bit of butter. Well, again, do you have to enter those two foods into your food tracking app to say, you better think twice about ordering that chicken parmesan?
No, because if you're doing that, then you're actually not, how you say, paying attention. So,
exactly.
Anyway.
And if you have been sitting on your sofa watching reruns of whatever, you know, for the last 3.5 months, you don't need an app to tell you that you've walked, you know, maybe a total of 59 steps today.
Right, or that you didn't walk. All right, thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman.
You're welcome, and stay warm. Bye-bye.
Of course, you can hear Food for Mood every Thursday right before This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You can find Judy online at our on-demand page, which is, of course, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman.